Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will read the Word of God from the book of Ecclesiastes, from 3rd chapter, from its verse 10 onwards. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he had set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God required that which is past. Amen. Who was this author of the book of Ecclesiastes? And what was the main point of his preaching? What does he want to say to us today? Here before me, there are sitting children, and I know what you see in this, the front of this podium. There are many pictures of children there. You children know when I say the word teacher. This preacher was a teacher. He was teaching the nation of Israel. We have some difficulties to determine or define who this teacher was, because this book of Ecclesiastes was written a long time ago, before the birth of God, birth of Jesus, maybe 200 or 300 years before it. You older school children may know that this time was such a time which was called it was called a Hellenistic culture, culture based in Greek philosophy and thinking. And surely this author knew this culture well, and it is somehow reflected in this book of Ecclesiastes. He wants to teach wisdom of life. When I was reading this book of Ecclesiastes in the winter, my first thought was this, that the Ecclesiastes was a teacher of the Old Testament time. A good teacher who gave good guidance that which are referred to even today. And we can return to some of those instructions here now today. In this book of Ecclesiastes, two words are repeated often. First word is wisdom. What is wisdom? I could ask you, school children, that you could think and maybe discuss about this one evening, that what is wisdom? Is wisdom this that we read books? Or is there other wisdom also? We also speak of wisdom of the heart. What is that type of wisdom which is apparent in the life of a believer, especially? But if this word wisdom appears about 50 times in this book of Ecclesiastes, but there is also another word which appears almost as often. It is the word vain, vanity. The preacher preaches us this, that everything is in vain. And how do we combine these? Is the preacher in contradiction with himself? This preacher was a teacher of the Old Testament, but there was a bigger teacher of which the Bible tells in the New Testament. This teacher was called with this phrase, good teacher, of whom we as believers can also say that he surely was a good teacher and the best teacher to teach us how does one become saved in this life, who has the best promise in our lives. Now we come to this. What is our part or meaning of life for us? When we read the book of Ecclesiastes, as we read this portion here already now, it gives a picture that the preacher lists many things. He first has this phrase that everything repeats itself, nothing changes. Of this, we can also say that, wait a minute, where have we maybe read this? The clothing of people, the language of people changes, but a man stays the same. It may be one Finnish author who writes about this in the first pages of his book. We may think about this, how everything repeats itself, everything stays the same, nothing new under the sun, as the author of Book of Ecclesiastes says. Surely we can answer, so it is that we see in all times man has been in same way, has acted in the same way, and we can say that in many, many things it is sad, sorrowful, that man has not learned anything, but always acts opposite of good. Another thing we can bring up is, what does man seek in his life? The preacher tells in the beginning that he is a king and that he is from the family of David. When we read the Bible, we can say or think that who was this king who could, these characteristics could be applied to, that he was wise, that he asked from God for wisdom to correctly judge his nation. He was rich. He prospered and he gathered lots of riches and power. All this, which we can consider that he was a content man. But yet, why did this man have these kinds of thoughts of life? That we could say that he was a complete pessimist. If we can consider that he hates life of man, that he considers all travails of man in vain. This is another outlook to this book of Ecclesiastes, that he is clearly wise in this, that he is experienced, and he weighs these different experiences and that how valuable are they in the life of man. Is glory valuable? He had received it. Is it valuable, or is it in vain? Or riches which he had received, do the riches have any value? These external matters of life, we can ask that how many people today seek for these. We know in many other situations that people have always sought for these. I remember from my childhood, I remember stories as I had read stories of Zachary Topelius. And how did those stories go? Usually there was a boy who went to seek for fortune. And what was this fortune after many adventures? That wasn't this fortune, this princess and half the kingdom? Is this the fortune of life? Because all the stories end in that. This same matter is compared by the preacher. He concludes that all of this is in vain. All of this is something which is not necessary to man. He goes through many matters, but we cannot go through all of these. But for example, he thinks about work. Is work something that is a basis for the fortune of life? He concludes that does it even make sense for someone to work? And he concludes that everything repeats itself. We cannot take anything from this life, so it's in vain to work. So is it in vain to work and toil? This is spoken by a king who himself has everything. And when we consider power, we know even today the governors of this world are seeking for more power, more land. May us also begin wars to gain more. This also, preacher concludes, that is in vain. Power is not useful to man. Then he thinks about knowledge, this which is shared in schools and institutions. He also concludes about this, that is it really necessary? All this knowledge which is collected by man perishes. A dumb person will die just like a wise person. So I introduce here that the preacher goes deeply into this, that which is sustainable in the life of man and what is not, what is unsustainable. In one verse, he summarizes in the second chapter. So a dumb one will die just like a wise person. And everything is in vain. Therefore, I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. We can examine a parallel situation in Bible, or I have listened to it with this ear that it is often repeated. This is Psalm 37, of which I have said that this is a psalm for the organist or cantors. For the organist sees everyone who arrives at church, and usually in the congregation knows everyone. Usually knows the rich ones and the poor ones, and may know a thing or two about their lives. And this Amos, who was a musician of a temple, he was struggling with this, that when others prosper, but he needs to live a poor life and suffer all the sufferings of life. And it seems like there is no benefit of his faith. And this Asaph is in the same situation. He concludes also the same way as their preacher, that does it pay to believe? Faith becomes sometimes weak, so it happened also to Aphis. What helped? Asaph went there where the gracious God, message of God was preached. There in that congregation, he got to know the power that united, and he received strengthening for his faith. Isn't it so? I am emboldened to say that this summer services today are such a situation that we can finally gather together to be encouraged in our mutual faith. I believe that many of us have the same thoughts when we leave from here as Asaph had when he at the end said, and that God is my rock, and he wants to stay on this rock and build his life and faith and future on this rock. Faith is not in vain. We can experience this when we are in the house of God. When we continue, we take some of his thoughts, this preacher's thoughts. The preacher has another side to him. Can we put his own words into his mouth, that in vain we try something better? Is all this suffering in vain? But preacher also preaches a sermon of faith, for there is found a portion. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. This was in the portion that I read earlier. So God has made everything good, and it stays. If we think about this in more detail, what does this entail? Is this that God, man falls into sin? The enemy, the soul, created this bad, evil. Yet this creation work of God and how God talked to man, God gave already there, after the fall of sin, a full promise of freedom. Freedom of the soul from bondage of sin. He promised to the world a Savior, Jesus, who will redeem the sins of the world. And a portion can be found also in the book of Ecclesiastes, where he says that when he looks at these matters from the basis of faith, he concludes that God has given man, besides these sufferings and pains, yet when a man as a believer receives a gift of God and can enjoy everything good given by God, he can do those things with a joyous mind. It is a gift of God to man. Can enjoy the fruit of his work, as just as in all of our actions, it becomes true, which is repeated also in these services. It would be good to add to everything that if it is the will of God, if it is the will of God, that we would remember everything good from God is a gift from God. The author of the Ecclesiastes summarizes this in the same, in following way. I glorified joy, for there is no fortune under the sun other than to eat, drink, and be happy. This joy follows him on all days that are given to him by God. So Jesus also teaches. Jesus teaches to pray. In the prayer, there are two important parts. In the Sermon on the Mount, this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. This consists of all the good that we have in our lives, friends, family, home, and nourishment, of course. Everything is in it. And the author of the Ecclesiastes summarizes his message in the same way. But in the teaching of Jesus, there is another side. That when he says, and forgive us our trespasses, we put side by side this everyday life and this grace of God, which can be both enjoyed every day. It is also a daily bread. just like in the wilderness this manna was. The preacher speaks also to the youth. He does not think like someone who is experienced, elder, as an elder. He speaks directly to the youth. He says later and reminds that be joyous for your youth. Enjoy the days of your youth. What does this mean? Does this mean this, that as a young one, we can look for knowledge and be brave to learn and be joyous and be thankful to God that we have this opportunity? We here in Finland, we can say that we have a good place to be here. We, as youth, can be able to enjoy many things. And if we saw that someone there listening on the internet, I would like to stop you here, that there definitely in life there is this encouraging outlook where it is said that I will give you future and hope. The preacher has the same message. But at the same time, the preacher says these words to the youth, which we often repeat, that remember your Lord in your youth. What does this mean? I remember myself, my youth, when I thought about these questions of life. What is necessary in life? And then maybe in the confirmation school, he opened up to me that what does confirmation school teach to us? If there are those going to confirmation school here, discuss there at the camp and ask your teachers and bigs about these things and study this, that what is the most important matter of life. As it is summarized in this thought, that the most important, most precious matter of life of man is knowing of Lord Jesus and becoming his child. Confirmation school camp and youth camps or whatever camps you have, discuss there in about these most important matters. If preacher was a teacher of the Old Testament, and we can say that it pays to read all the chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. So from there, it is easy to move on to the New Testament, where we could take a few words from the Sermon on the Mount. Do they have the same echoes that the Old Testament preacher had? There, in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, there is this proclaiming to be righteous, where blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which hunger. Blessed are the merciful, and so on. This list consists the same people same type of people of which the preacher speaks about. This list does not include those who have been learned and rich. So this blessing does not belong to those who have prospered in life. But Jesus does not mean here anything external or worldly, but he wants to be teaching these spiritual matters. Although it came upon Jesus many times where he meets these sick, poor people, what was the teaching of Jesus then? How did Jesus speak to these people? When he met a sick person, what was his first message to him? Was it this, that I will heal you? No, it was this, that son and daughter, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven to you. Did this then heal this timely sickness? No, it did not, but it healed the soul. And he who believed it became a disciple of Jesus, a believing person. Of these examples, there are many in the Bible. Prophet's prediction became true, that the blind will see and the dumb will hear. But in addition to this, Jesus gave also, in addition to the spiritual healing, Jesus also gave them a physical healing. This is what the author of the Sermon on the Mount wants to teach us. If we return to this thought, that why did Jesus hear, or I do not remember a portion where Jesus was dealing with a rich person other than this publican Zacchaeus, that we can see what the fruits of repentance are. But the situations that are more easily remembered are these, that where a person does not have the will of God to receive the gift of faith, even though it was meant to him. Often a text theme may be this matter of a rich young person, which tells us of how it is difficult for that type of person who has gathered riches in his life. It fits well with the preacher, who was someone who had lots of power. And Jesus, when meeting this person, and this discussion was started with this phrase, "Good teacher, what did this young man, what did he see in Jesus? Did he see in Jesus Messiah, Christ, someone sent by God, Son of God? Or did he see just a good person, just a normal good person, good teacher?" We can read that Jesus saw into the heart of this man, and what Jesus answered, it gives us a picture of when he starts to teach this man, why do you say I'm good, only God is good? These are the same words that preacher has, that only God is good. No man can travel without sin. It can be found already in one of the chapters of Book of Ecclesiastes. And Jesus then begins to instruct this young man, and maybe at the same time shows to those around him that what there was blocking for this man to finally make a good decision. We start to talk about the commandments. We know the commandments, and this young man also knew these. Do not kill, do not steal. And this man, young man, said that I have followed these commandments from my youth. And then we are reminded of what the preacher says and what also Jesus and Paul teach. When Paul also taught of the same matter, that all men, all people do sin, that good which we want to do, we do not do, and that which bad we don't want to do, we do. So Paul yet says that these comforting words, that yet I will not, but that sin which lives in me does. Jesus taught these same matters to this young man. But somehow it seems from us that this young man did not receive this message. So then Jesus puts this young man to a more difficult test, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. So go and sell all your possessions and give it to the poor, and then follow me. Then it was revealed this. The soul of this man was revealed, and he became sorrowful and went away. Surely Jesus was also sorrowful, but this story tells us how a man who does not have the poorness of which the Sermon of the Mount teaches us, to feel ourselves as fully lacking, and we do not have this love for our neighbor as for myself. We must all admit this. This matter became a blocking to his faith, this young man's faith. We can think of other blockings to faith, as has been preached in sermons today about Nicodemus. As preacher says, that even wisdom is in vain. Maybe Nicodemus also, even though he was learned and was an elder, yet he was not able to understand the matters of faith. And so it became a blocking. And so he remained someone who was positively spiritual, but did not accept the gift of faith. Then we think about disciple Thomas. Thomas many times doubted, even when traveling with Jesus. Then maybe last time, when we remember that time when after the resurrection of Jesus, when he was there, when Jesus appeared, I do not believe until I see myself, was here a man, a person who needs evidence of that's reasonable, that he did not understand the resurrection of Jesus. But with Thomas, it is comforting that when he saw, what did he say then? He said, "My Lord, my God." His understanding of faith returned. He believed. We believe that Thomas, truly as a disciple of Jesus, continued his life. We can then yet bring up some other followers of Jesus, Martha and Mary, and we consider what are the most important matters of life that we may also study in confirmation school. Mary, per the words of Jesus, chose a good part when she listened to the teaching of Jesus and closely listened to teachings. And Martha, according to that story, seems to be an everyday person, a good person to take care of others and the duties of everyday life. And how do we consider this when Jesus had to teach her also? When Jesus instructed her, "You take care of many, but one is important." Again, we come to this. What are the most important matters? These worldly matters are not so important. So it is healthy to read this book of Ecclesiastes. Again and again, we could turn our thoughts into this, that what is most important? This portion of part of Mary. We can also think of this theme of the services of childlike is the kingdom of God. Childlike. Do children have this type of power or riches, possessions, all this which an adult seeks for? No, they do not. Children only have a childlike faith. It is the same faith that we can think of Mary having. Mary had a childlike faith. On the other hand, if there may be a week here now that before the prior Sunday, the theme was that calling to the kingdom of God, there also was repeated this, that those rich ones who had many things to do, they found many reasons not to come to the festivities, but then from the streets were found the poor and the sick, so that the festivities had audience, had guests. So these matters are put into an important order, which is not according to what we think is the most important. We have gathered here at the services. Also here, these external organizations, these have been done so that we can be comfortable listening to the Word of God. That is most important, that we can hear, listen to the Word of God. We can quieten into the listening of the word of God. The kingdom of God here is amidst us, and we can here be in mutual care. And so, is it then a complicated sermon which is preached to us here? Isn't it very childlike? If we say that in every sermon here, a simple word is repeated, that even now, today, at this moment, you have permission to believe, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Isn't it there, the simple sermon? We do not need anything more. There is the central point of our faith. So when we can believe in this way, we know that we can reach that fortune which also the preacher was seeking, and this fortune which was taught by Jesus, that we could one day reach the home of heaven towards which we are journeying to. But so for this reason, we can also at this moment say that we have a permission to now believe all those things that are blocking our faith, which is hindering our faith. All of this we can believe forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Isn't it then good to say that this life, the fortune of this life, as I thought to say at the end, to cite a hymn 342, it is fortunate to be a child of God, to carry the gift of faith as a treasure no understanding can measure, the grace we can rejoice on earth, so you can remain believing all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And to this, coming to this speaking turn, I would have not been strengthened to encouraged to come to this place, and I want to ask that, can I yet believe all my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you, so we remain in God's care and His